God, we stand amazed today before you. We thank you, O God, our Father, for such great love that not only, Lord, do you forgive our sin and remove them as far as the east is from the west, but by the power of the Spirit, you strengthen us to walk in holiness and sanctification before you, that we might glorify your name in all of the earth. To that end, Father, we put ourselves to the study of the Scriptures, that as the Scriptures become part of us, Lord God, and we participate in the divine nature as Peter wrote, then, Father, we might glorify you and glory in one another as we see Jesus in each other. Lord, bless our time in the Word today. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we come before you saying we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We will be not in Romans today. In some sense, today will be an anticipation of next week as we continue in chapter 1 of Romans. So turn in your Bibles with me. Start looking for Daniel chapter 9. And while you're looking at that, we'll test your dexterity. How many are in our congregation today veterans? Would you stand, please? Veterans, including you, Jessica, National Guard. And somebody who stands for Larry. Larry is not here. I don't see him, but Larry is also a veteran. To you, veterans, we say thank you. Today is also, in a sense, a Veterans Day for the Army of God. Today is, across the world, the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We have on the back table, as I mentioned last week, Gospel for Asia was at the school up Valley a few weeks ago and left with the school and was given to us by Jim, their excess material from Gospel for Asia. On the long box standing at the end of the table are these kinds of maps. If you would like one, there's a few left in there. And on this map is highlighted what is known in Christianity as the 1040 window. And it's the section of latitude and longitude where most of the unchurched people in the world live. And also encompasses much of the persecuted church, if you'll look there. Not all, but much of. And so, if you would like one of these maps, they're in the box leaning against the table back there. There's a few books left, some CDs and DVDs, and also little packets for young people that you can sponsor for their schooling and their living at about $28 a month per child per month. And this will take care of their schooling, their school uniform, food, and things like that. They would appreciate a response before November 20. And you actually have a picture of the child, and you can begin to sponsor a child through Gospel for Asia. Now, Gospel for Asia, not only evangelizing primarily the 1040 window, but they also help us keep a pulse beat on the persecuted church. That's a part of their ministry as well. But I would like to bring you some things today from another organization close to home, Voice of the Martyrs, whose office is in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And they have a website called persecution.com. And on that website, they have a little place that's just called the newsroom. So I would like to read for you a few headlines. These are not ancient headlines. Remember when for a season we were reading from a book similar to Fox's Book of Martyrs to begin our service. But these are just a few headlines, not from the first century, from the last couple of weeks, going back to September. In Burma, now if some of you are familiar with Pastor James at First Baptist Delta, you know that he just returned, I think, from Burma just a few days ago. In Burma, which is also or used to be called Myanmar, Burmese soldiers targeted Christian civilians and church buildings in a recent attack against insurgents from the Kachin Independence Organization. The military, which accused church leaders, blah, blah, blah. So this was a military affront against the church in Burma just a few days ago. In the Maldives, after teaching at a school in Maldives for 2 years, 30-year-old Indian Christian, and it gives his name, was deported on October 14th, just a month ago, tomorrow, after police found a Bible in his house. Oh no! Somalia. A 17-year-old Christian was beheaded by Al-Shabaab extremists on September 25 as he prepared for school. Al-Shabaab determined to rid Somalia of Christianity and Western influence. They had been monitoring this young man. Kazakhstan. The government of Kazakhstan enacted two laws on October 24th, further restricting the freedom of religion. All registered churches must now register with the government. Indonesia. After closing the Indonesia Pentecost Church in Sumedang for using an illegal building permit, authorities arrested the church's pastor for forcing others to attend church. Well, you wonder if those charges were trumped up a little bit. Egypt. We have seen what our government has called the peaceful overthrow and democracy moving into Egypt, right? If you believe that, I have some land in Florida for you to buy. A YouTube video of 25 Egyptian soldiers beating Coptic Christian, and it gives his name, prompted a protest by thousands of Coptic Christians on Sunday, October 9. I found it interesting. I didn't see the debate, but I heard sketches of it. I found it interesting that Newt Gingrich said he is concerned about the treatment of Christians in these newly forming Middle Eastern countries and African nations. Thank you, Newt. Christians around the world will unite on November 13. That's today. For the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, although we should always remember those in chains, the International Day of Prayer is set aside as a special day. Special day. A young Christian in Myanmar, Burma, again, was forced to choose between faith and family recently when her relatives demanded that she recant her faith. In Nigeria, Muslim extremists carried out new attacks on villages in Nigeria's Plateau State in September, killing more than 100 Christians. Didn't see that in our paper, did we? Including entire families, according to Compass Direct. Iran. Agents of Iran's intelligence ministry recently took a Christian couple's adopted child, demanding that the couple file a complaint against other Christians who are being held in prison. What would you do if the government came in and took your child and said the only way to get your child back is to file a complaint against brothers and sisters in Christ who are already in prison? Somalia. After an extensive search, Christians in the Bakool region of southwestern Somalia discovered the decapitated body of a kidnapped Christian person. In the Sudan, in July and August, Muslim extremists sent threatening text messages to at least 10 church leaders in Khartoum, according to Compass Direct. And those are not just words when they come from extremist Muslims. In Laos, 11 orphans in northern Laos are currently facing pressure from the principal of their orphanage to stop attending church. If they do not obey, the children will be forced to leave the orphanage. In China, after serving 2 years in Chinese labor camps, five leaders of the Lin Fin House Church have been released. Yay, praise the Lord. They'll be arrested again. Pastor Vahik Abrahamian in the Iran, a 45-year-old Armenian Christian in the Republic of Iran, was reunited his family after being released from prison on Monday morning. So praise the Lord for those releases. And an Iranian pastor gives his name also, was released from prison on Saturday, August 27th, after a family member pledged their property for his bail. Pray for the persecuted church. Those are just the... There is also a news article, I didn't print the third page off, but there is an article about Asia Bibi on there also. And so You know, it's happening. It's been said, and I believe it's true, that in the 20th century there were more people martyred for Christ than in the previous 19 centuries put together. And the pace hasn't slowed down. It's picked up in early 21st century. Daniel chapter 9, if you found that place in your Bibles. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, who was a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the Scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. And so we understand that by the dating in Daniel, the first year of Darius, this would have been approximately 538 to 539 B.C. This is approximately 67 years after Daniel had been taken captive to Babylon. The last assault of Nebuchadnezzar against Jerusalem was in 586 B.C., but under Nebuchadnezzar's father, Nabopolassar, there had been several attacks that God had brought against Jerusalem by the Babylonian and Chaldean people. The time when they attacked the earliest is when Daniel and his friends were taken captive, and that was in about 605 or so B.C. And so Daniel is reading the prophet Jeremiah, who prophesied to the people before the Babylonian captivity, and told them that they would, in fact, be taken captive and don't fight against Nebuchadnezzar. This was, in fact, God's decree because of a lot of sin and things in their culture and their life. And so Jeremiah had written in chapter 25, I believe, that the captivity would last 70 years. And as Daniel is reading this, he's realizing in his own life, he's in his late 70s now, perhaps early 80s, in his own life, he has been in Babylon 67 or so years. And so he says, wow, it's almost over. The captivity, soon our people will go back. And so prompted by that and the realization that the time was almost up for God's judgment on Israel to be ended and returned from Babylon, then Daniel falls and prays before the Lord. Now you remember Daniel, who had served well under Nebuchadnezzar, and then his son, and then his grandson, and now under Darius. And he was perhaps the highest ranking political official next to the king in all of Babylon, and had been for close to 50 years. So he falls on his face before God in verse 4. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. You know, there's about two or three men in Scripture that never is recorded any errant behavior. Joseph, in the book of Genesis. Enoch, who was taken up in a chariot. And Daniel. Few others in Scripture do we have as much information on their life as we do those three with any recount of errant behavior. And so, when we're looking at Daniel in his late 70s and early 80s, he never had that period of insanity that some of us have lived through in our lives. I had an interesting conversation with my mother the other day, recalling my 7 years of insanity from her perspective. You know, she had a radically different perspective on my life at that time than I did. And now I can see that she was right, not me. And so Daniel never had that period. We are talking about a man who has walked in piety before God since his youth, his very young youth. And so here is a man about to confess sin that we have no record that he even was guilty of any sin, except we know, as Doug said, that we come into this world with sin in our heart. Verse 4, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. And we could say to that, in Jesus' name, amen. Would that one political leader today would read that. Maybe not publicly, but privately in the sanctuary of their home. You see, every word that Daniel spoke in that prayer in confessing his own sin and the sin of his people needs to be said about the United States of America. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and we have rebelled. We have turned away from the laws and the commands of God. We have not listened to the servants of God, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, who spoke in the name of God to our presidents, our Congress, our Supreme Court, yea, to even the people of the street. We have not listened. Yet the Lord is righteous. And we will see as we return, God willing, to Romans chapter 1 next week, having covered the territory, declaring and defining his wrath last week, we will turn next week our attention and see that every word that Daniel spoke about Israel is also true of the United States. And how can we not think? How can we be so arrogant as to think that we will not also suffer the judgment, the wrath of God? Indeed, last week we saw in parsing the verb, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. Last week we saw in parsing that verb that we are right now, this day, November 13, 2011. living in the wrath of God in the United States of America. Next week we'll see what that looks like, God willing. What does the wrath of God look like in our country? Is it the same as it was in Jerusalem? Not yet. We haven't had a foreign nation come and overthrow us and take us captive yet. But it could happen. It could happen. And so as we come today, preparing for next week, I don't want this sermon to be a downer, a bummer. What I want to remember was what happened to Ernest in his coma, walking into the throne room of God, or probably being carried in. I've seen how he walks lately. And being accused of all manner of wickedness and evil by Satan to God the Father behind the bench. And poor Ernest laying there defenseless and helpless, shaking his head, yeah, I remember that. And yet in his heart saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. And Jesus Christ saying, I know that, but I bought all of Ernest. You see, there is good news. But brothers and sisters, according to Romans 12:1, we have a responsibility. Therefore, brothers, I urge you by the mercies of God to make yourself, to offer yourselves a living sacrifice. We have an obligation. We are to be a Daniel in our society. We are to live holy and righteous before God before it's too late. Solomon finished his wonderful, beautiful work, Ecclesiastes, with the words, remember God in your youth. And some of you say, too late. No, it's not, because you know what? You are younger today than you will be tomorrow. So from tomorrow's perspective, today is young. It's not too late. Remember God in your youth. Serve Him and Him alone. And when we do that, then we can be the Daniels. We can fall on our knees. And we can pray for our land as Daniel prayed for his land. And when the revival begins in the church, then it has to splash into society. And for revival to begin in the church, it has to start with me. I have to be on my knees, remembering my sin before a holy God, and repenting, turning around and walking away from that sin which so easily entangles me. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Have you ever noticed how those things go like that? Romans 12:1, Hebrews 12:1. Did you know that also the prayers of the great men, Ezra and Nehemiah, are also in Ezra 9 and Nehemiah 9 and Daniel 9? Isn't it amazing how God has worked that out? Makes it easy for guys like me to remember it. So we fall on our face before God and we pray for ourselves and confess our sin and make certain, like Paul told the church in Philippi, therefore work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's chapter 2, round about verse 12. And he said that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and around about verse 10 and 11. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Did you know that? That God has something for you to do, which is good works in the name of Jesus? And if we're not doing it, then that needs to be confessed as well. And Daniel's good works was to be a spokesman for the glory of God in the Babylonian court for 50 or 60 years, proclaiming the righteousness of God to one of the most wicked, brutal nations ever in the history of the world. And he was faithful to that task and won the favor of all of the leaders except the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, who was a foolish young man. And as we come and take communion together today, we participate in a service that is known around the world. And I don't know how many churches on the planet today are celebrating communion, but when we take that wafer that represents his body and the cup which represents his blood, we are locking arms with a band of brothers and sisters that covers the globe. And we are saying with one another in this church and churches around the world, I will fight with you for the glory of God. And I will repent of my sin. I will make it right with those whom I have wronged. And we'll stand together and proclaim the glory of God. And the Bible says when we do that, that even the gates of hell can't stand against us. We will march on and knock down the gates of hell. And when we bring righteousness back to our life and our faith and our church, then that's one step toward bringing righteousness back to our nation and our world. But there's not going to be perfect righteousness on earth. Matter of fact, the scriptures declare that there will be wars and rumors of wars with more intensity and increasing frequency until the time Jesus comes back. And then He will establish His righteousness and His kingdom. But that gives us no excuse to be lazy till then. No excuse. There are people perishing this earth today without the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we are obligated to them. That's why Paul could say, as we studied a few weeks ago in Romans, I have a sense of duty and obligation to every human being on this planet to proclaim the glory of God, the righteousness of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. So as we take this communion today, I'm going to allow for just a few moments. I've asked Jim and Fred to come and help us with this. And we'd like to take just a few moments just to think and reflect. You know, the whole earth today is full of wickedness. And yet in every place on this planet, there is a witness of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced. And God has made Himself known. We saw that last week in Romans chapter 1. God has made the essential attributes of His character known by what has been made. And we are duty-bound and obliged to first pray a prayer of confession, as Daniel has for his nation and for ourselves. And then second, to put on our boots and get going. And no more. Be fat and lazy in the kingdom of God. Let's just take about a minute or two, and then we will begin our communion service. There have been times, Lord, when we have hurt others in something that we've said or something that we've done. Sometimes even the way we look at another person. There has been gossip and backbiting, and there has been anger and rage and wrath. There have been great sins of passion and uncontrolled wickedness, sometimes more or less in our lives. There have been times of our neglect for things of God and righteousness and holiness. There have been lies. There has been deceit. There has been promiscuity. And we've not always been careful with what we see or what we say or what we hear. We have not guarded our thoughts. We've not guarded our hearts. We have allowed Satan to ply us, and we have allowed our own sin nature to wreak havoc in our lives and our families. Is it any wonder, O God, that we're in the condition we're in? And yet, Father, You have made a way for us because of Your great love and Your mercy, for us to be counted righteous and to walk in joy, looking for that new city, Father. And You have strengthened us according to Your will, to walk before You, a people who have been bought and paid for in full by the blood of Christ. Lord, we confess to You that we don't understand the kind of love that would forgive our sin Remove it as far as the east is from the west, and never let that sin spoil our relationship with you from your side. We don't understand that kind of love, Father, because apart from you, we've never seen it in another human being, nor will we ever. And so, Father, we take it by faith that your love has accomplished in us what we could never do of ourselves. We take it by faith, Father, that you would have us to be holy and righteous in all that we say and do, that our passions would be bridled, that our wrath and anger would be tempered by the Spirit and the Word of God, that our eyes would no longer be wandering, and our hearts no more wicked. Your Word says that the heart of man is desperately wicked and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And yet we know, Father, that in Jesus Christ it can be cured and be made right. And so, Lord, we come today as a body, Surface Creek Community Church, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, bought by the blood. And we say to you first, Father, thank you. And then we say, Father, we love you. We love your Son. We covet the righteousness of Jesus Christ to be made obvious and plain in our lives. We commit to you, Father, that from this day forward, we will live for the glory of God. Yes, there will be times when we stumble. We know that going into that kind of a promise. And yet, Father, by your grace, we would pray and ask and commit that those stumblings would be fewer and farther between. Until someday, Father, when we step into your glory and into your presence, we're not surprised by the radiance of your beauty, but have been fully expecting, even as Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. O God, let us glorify your name in all the earth. Forgive us our sin, Father. And according to your righteousness and for the sake of your name, make us great, great warriors in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Jim and Fred, would you come with us, please? And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Gentlemen, would you pass? After the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. After they finished the bread and the cup and the rest of the dinner, they sang a hymn and then went out to the Mount of Olives. That's a distance for us to walk today. We'll not do that. I would ask if you would stand and we could sing a hymn together, please. And then at the conclusion of the singing, Brother Doug, would you lead us in a closing prayer? Stand with me and sing a great old hymn of the faith, please. Jesus loves me.